Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I've got a great guest today, Adam Anderson. Adam is a longtime small business owner who also happens to be one of the leading authorities on small business cybersecurity. This serial entrepreneur is also an author, writing several books on cybersecurity and cybercrime to help other business owners understand and navigate the digital world. Adam is on a mission to help fellow business owners find the answer to the question, should I even care about cybersecurity? His newest book, The Monster Within, shows business owners that cybersecurity isn't something reserved for only the nerds in Silicon Valley. We all have a stake in this. It's my pleasure to welcome Adam Anderson.
Belinda, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so thanks so much for sharing your expertise with us today on a very interesting subject. So let's start by just filling in some of the gaps from your bio. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and then your journey. What led you to this place that you are in today?
Sure. Again, my name's Adam Anderson. I'm a Virgo. The best thing I ever did was marry my wife, Carrie, and reproduce and have two wonderful kids. And my whole entrepreneur journey is to create a lifestyle that lets me be a better father and husband. So, bam, that is where I'm at right now. But to kind of answer your question a little bit more in depth, I used to be a consultant with IBM. And after an 18-hour layover in Montgomery, Alabama's airport, which if you haven't been, I don't suggest you put it on your bucket list. I decided I would never do this again for somebody else. And in 2005, I started my own cybersecurity firm and was absolutely positive I was going to go out of business every 6 months for the last 13 years until eventually I got an exit out of that. And I have basically been starting companies ever since. The last 13 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Isn't it funny how it can be like people think it's this big, profound thing and it's probably like percolating in the back of your mind all the time, but it's those like those moments that is the least expected that completely changes your reference or your mindset. Like being, I have been at Montgomery, Alabama, and it was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had in that airport and what pursued thereafter. But so I can completely relate to that. But it is those moments sometimes, those little things that push people over the edge. But it's something obviously that it's sort of been kind of gnawing at you for a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think we both learned something. If you are not yet started your company, go to Montgomery, Alabama and hang out in the airport. And yeah, that will be the catalyst you need.
So tell us a little bit about then your business today and how it's shaped your lifestyle.
Yeah, so I have been doing cybersecurity since 1998. And we didn't even call it cybersecurity back then. And so, you know, eventually I fired myself from my primary company and I got really interested in how small business interacts with the Fortune 500 and the government, right? These supply chains. How does the little guy use cybersecurity to help facilitate the big guy? And a couple years ago, Target got hacked and all these credit cards got pulled out. And I think $150 million worth of damages and the CEO got fired. And it all came through an air conditioning unit that was managed offsite. So I've got this big push now, a mission where I want to equip the small business owner with the information they need to operate in a global economy and win new business, create revenue, and get that customer to pay again without cybersecurity getting in the way.
Wow, that sounds interesting, complicated, and but very much needed. So,
well, you said something that I think is important. We're small business folks, and if it's complicated, we won't do it, right?
Exactly.
So what I have tried to do is boil all of this stuff down to 7 things that you can do that are basically free, and then come up with a methodology on how do you think about cybersecurity. Because I think cybercrime and cybersecurity, it's not a computer science problem. It's a behavioral science problem, which means business people are perfectly equipped to address this.
That's great. That's what I was hoping you would say, because I think I really was, because it does sound complicated. And it sounds like, even I think about it for myself, and my husband's always like, you know, looking out for us. And he's always getting mad at me because I take it so like, oh, it's not going to happen to us, or it's so, we're just so small here. Do you know what I mean? And he takes it way more serious than I do. But I think it's because at the end of the day, it seems complicated, or you don't understand it. And it's just easy to sort of push aside something that you don't fully understand. So by you simplifying it in a way that people can relate to it or understand it, I think that's the key to everything. And that's what really with anything in life.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, you're not alone. By the way, there's 3 common beliefs that everybody has who are a small business owner that leads to them not taking action. And the first one is, I'm not important. And the second is, they can't find me and I don't have anything they want. And the last is, there's nothing I can do about it anyway, so I might as well not. And until you can address those 3 beliefs, then it really makes no business sense for you to take action, because you're just going to buy things that make you feel good, which gives you the illusion of security, and you might as well put that into your marketing budget, right?
Absolutely. So what are a couple of your skill sets that you think have helped you succeed in owning your own business?
Ooh, I really love me.
I already wrote my little side notes. This guy is funny. Yeah.
Well, so I'm being a little tongue in cheek there, but I was raised with a lot of self-confidence. My parents really gave me opportunities to have small wins that turned into big wins so that I can develop a thick skin and be self-confident that I'm allowed to fail. And being allowed to fail and having the experiences like, yep, it's okay. I can be down right now. It's just a valley, and tomorrow is going to be a peak. It's going to be fine. Everything's a season. So I think the number one thing that's really helped me with entrepreneurship is controlling that inner voice that is sometimes doubtful and sometimes over enthusiastic and optimistic, and being able to manage my own perception. And I do feel like that's my superpower, is managing that internal voice.
That is great and very well said. A lot of people, because I was reading on your sheet, you're self-aware, but when you explained that, I think that that is important, because I think we all deal with that self, that little voice in our heads every single day. And so just learning how to deal with that is a huge skill set to have. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Right on.
Yeah. It's not one of the common ones that we get. So, So share with us then one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that is super meaningful for you.
I had a dream that I would play guitar with Bill Clinton while he was playing the saxophone. And that didn't happen. So here's the other thing that happened then. I actually got to play with my daughter. So my daughter's 10 and she is a singer, and I got to learn guitar from scratch and accompanying her while she performs. So I compare that to the entrepreneur journey as well, by the way. The idea that you can set a long-term goal and have focus enough to complete it, and then the reward at the end. And by the way, she did horrible in her performance. So being able to play guitar with my daughter after working hard with her, and then she crashes and burns and I'm able to be there with her, I gotta tell you, that there's not a whole lot better in the world than sharing that experience.
I loved how you prefaced it, though, and I want to dig into this a little bit, because, so, like, I've always had a goal forever, and like, or a dream. I guess the dream is the better thing. I have always wanted to play the drums with Bob Seger. Right. So, I mean, I have. I just sit there and think, oh, my gosh, I would just love to set in just, like, one time. And right. And so that's never happened. But it hasn't stopped me from having really awesome opportunities to set in with other really great people. And I think that if I hadn't have held on to that, a lot of times I used to practice just pretending like that weekend was going to be it. Somehow I was going to run into Bob Seger and I needed to be ready. And I don't know that if I hadn't kept that little sort of dream alive or had fun with it, I don't know that I would have pushed myself sometimes as hard as I did just to be a little bit better. And not that I'm famous or not that I'm anything, but I think that doing those little dreams and having those little sort of fun goals, that it doesn't mean, wow, that dream never came to pass. Look at the really cool things you do because of it.
Yeah, right. It's like I want to get to the stars and only get to the moon. Who cares? The moon's awesome. Right?
That's exactly right. And I think so many people stop in their dreaming and go, well, I'm never going to reach the moon, so, or the stars, whichever you want to look at. And like, so what is the point? And more people have that attitude than the other, I know, just in talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think goals and dreams are about momentum, right? I have no control over the vast majority of the things that happen in my life. But if I have a positive attitude and I can control my own perspective and I can build momentum, man, life's going to take you in really interesting ways. But you need momentum and you need the ability to stick to it. And yeah, I never played with Bill Clinton, but I played with my daughter, and I think that's a whole lot better. And it's always surprising how life turns out better than you ever planned it to be.
Absolutely. So on the opposite of that, then, what about a challenge or something that was difficult that you faced? And then how did you work through that?
I am a horrible manager. But again, remember, I love me. So I had a really hard time accepting the fact that I was the problem in my company. I was an entrepreneur who knew how to start a company, get my first initial customers, make them delighted, provide my service. But then as we started to scale, I was not the guy. We had about $3 million in revenue, 22 employees. I was managing a leadership team who was managing other people. And I kept changing my mind. I kept moving things around. I kept breaking our strategy. And I had to admit that, you know, my role in this is done. And I had to fire myself about 4 years ago and put a CEO in charge. So, you know, the big struggle was coming to grips that, yeah, it's time for me to step down. And that was a whole lot of identity issues, because when you're not the CEO anymore, who are you? And then supporting a new CEO and watching that person get to have the adventure while I, you know, sat on the sidelines.
And so how did you deal with that?
Oh, I immediately started launching other businesses that just completely failed. And my wife, you know, I started a knife company. I did an internet cafe. I had a home brewing DVD that apparently, that's a bad thing to do when there's this thing called YouTube. You know, there's so many failures. I almost ordered 60,000 knives from China, cutlery knives that I was going to sell. And I was like, wait, I have no idea how to sell this. So my wife gently tapped me on the shoulder and says, you know, you've launched 13 companies that have been a failure and you're spending a lot of our money. How about you stick to cybersecurity? I said, okay, yes, ma'am. So that's kind of when I got into this whole supply chain thing, and I began giving my time away, and I found my identity in helping other people do business better. I really enjoy that. I mentor a lot of folks. I volunteer at various colleges. I was the entrepreneur in residence at Clemson University for 3 years, and I filled the void of running a company with trying to launch other companies and mentoring people who are running companies.
So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
It means to work from my strengths, right? When I was out of my depth, when I was trying to be something I'm not, which I don't know if you've ever heard of Strength Finders, but I've took that, and my top five things are all about the future and quick starting and working with people and maximizing, right? And my very strong weaknesses are follow through and discipline. So for me, the happy place is producing amazing things from my strengths while having how I generate my wealth be independent on how I spend my time.
I do think it is important. I have read Strength Finders. I always recommend that book, and then delving in and finding out what those strengths are. I think we as a whole focus too much on what our weaknesses are instead of celebrating our strengths and really working toward those. I don't know why people, either they haven't identified really what their strengths are and celebrated those, is what my guess is. So that book is very helpful in doing that, because you take a little quiz if people are listening aren't familiar with it. But I think because we don't necessarily pinpoint that or identify it, it's very easy to constantly focus on where we're weak. And you know, whatever you focus on is generally what you get. So,
yeah, right.
I know we're talking a lot about focus right now in the groups that I'm working with. And it's just so mind blowing to me on, you know, that momentum that you create, that pinpointing that here's where my energy is going to go today. Here's where my efforts are going to go. Here's what I'm super excited about. Here's what I know I'm good at. If you do that, you're going to end up getting that result. But if you focus on what you're not good at, how you struggle, why this is going to be difficult, why this is probably never going to work, that's going to be your result as well. And I think that's the piece that people want to talk about, focus and momentum, and they want to talk about it all in the positive aspect, but you can get the same result from that in a negative aspect.
Oh, yeah. My dad used to tell me, be careful what you love and what you hate, because you're going to attract them both.
There you go. That's very, very simply and well put. So what advice would you give to others wanting to be entrepreneurs?
Keep your day job. And what I mean by that is, too often the people give into the story of entrepreneurship. Oh, you quit your job and you took the bet and you rode off into the sunset. But this is really hard stuff, emotionally, intellectually, physically, and chances are it's not going to be a smooth transition. And the way to really make business ownership hard is to not have any money. So when I'm coaching folks, I'm like, all right, you're going to start a company. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to da da da. I'm like, no. What you're going to do is you're going to have a side hustle. You're going to stop binge watching whatever you're watching at night, and you're going to work 30 minutes a day at home on whatever your business concept is. And when you begin to get traction and you begin to make money, then you're allowed to quit your day job. I'm very, I guess I wouldn't call it risk averse, but you know, if I didn't have HR problems and cash flow problems, I wouldn't have any problems. And it's really hard to handle the HR problems when you don't have anybody else around you, but you have the ability to control your cash. And in the game, you can only run out of money once unless you've got some really nice friends. And so for me, the if you're looking to start a company, keep your day job, start a side hustle.
And it is all about the transition, right? And I don't think that, I think sometimes people feel like their commitment level isn't there if they don't go all in. That's where I see people like, well, if I believe in it, or if I really thought I could do this, then I'd make it happen. And I think you're right. It is learning to, you know, and sometimes it's doing two jobs. Sometimes it's putting that money aside. But having a lack of money is to run a business, especially when you have other employees and you're responsible for them. It is the single most challenging piece of being a small business owner.
Amen. Absolutely. All of my nightmares and all the hiccups that I've gone through, it's all been cash flow related. Large customers don't pay and you have to cover payroll. You know, I joke that if you haven't cashed out all of your investments to cover payroll at least once, you don't get to count yourself as a real entrepreneur. And I think there's a mythology around this where you do have to go all in. And I'm running an experiment where I'm like, you know what? I bet I could do this at 30 minutes a night. Because when I limit myself on how much I'm going to work on it, the work I do is really focused. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of people can waste a whole lot of time being busy and not actually moving the thing forward, not moving the ball forward. So I love the idea of limiting the amount of time you're going to spend on your startup to make sure that time is super focused and valuable.
I agree 100%. And I work with a lot of people in the direct selling space, and a lot of those people, that is a side hustle for them, you know, and they are learning how to build that while they're still working full time, while they still have a family. And mm-hmm. you can do that, and you can do that with anything. And the thing is I teach this whole thing on the Power Hour, and it's like, how many 15-minute increments do we waste in a day versus how many of them do you really power up and get something incredible yeah. done? And I even wrote down your 30 minutes, because we, you know, have a new idea here, and I keep putting the idea on my board, and it's still on my board, but we haven't moved anything forward to it. But the reality of it is I have not dedicated any time to it. That's the reality.
Yeah.
So I even wrote down 30 minutes. I just need to dedicate 30 minutes, because we're always looking for the huge pockets of time. We're always looking yeah. for 2 hours or a day or half a day or a week. I've had people say to me, oh, if I could just take even a week's vacation and just completely immerse myself in this, you probably wouldn't. So it's
take the week's vacation and relax and then come back and work 30 minutes.
There you go. You know,
there's a huge amount of pressure we put on ourselves for timetables. And the truth of the matter is nobody cares except for us. So why are we so cruel to ourselves to say, I have to do this in 2 weeks. I got to do this right now. No. You know what? If it takes 3 months, life is a long race and you're setting yourself up for generational wealth. It's okay if it takes a while.
Great advice. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that our listeners could benefit from? And you can obviously talk about your book. And then in the end, tell us how they can find you.
Yeah. So, you know, my big mission here and the thing I love doing is talking to other business owners and trying to remove the fear around cybersecurity. Because when you have fear, you make bad decisions in anything that you do. And so because I can't talk to everybody, I write books, and I've had 3 books out there, and my mom loves them all. So I've got that going for me. But the last book is more of a handbook that I want the business owner to give to their operational person or their controller. The first few chapters are all about the history of the internet, why cybercrime is happening, what's this arms race that we're a part of. And then the last part of the book is all about how to build a business continuity plan. So a business continuity plan is all the ways the different business systems in your company affect each other and what happens when one goes down. So payroll, you know, accounts receivable, et cetera, et cetera. Because again, this is not about technology. This is all about, do you know how your company works? Do you know what would happen if a ransomware attack hit you? And do you know how to recover? And so to me, that's the thing, is training. So that's what, if you go to elementsecuritygroup.com/happyplace, I'm going to have all of these tools. There'll be online classes that you can get your folks to take, or you can take, that will teach you about how to think about cybersecurity. There'll be workbooks. There's free online self-assessments where you can take it and find out where you're actually at with cybersecurity. And all of this is based off of the National Institute of Standard and Technology Cybersecurity Framework. And that sounds complicated, so you can now use the word NIST and sound very smart at dinner parties. So that's basically it, is I'm producing training materials to help people get better at cybersecurity. And my major focus is, if I can change how you think about it, then you'll be prepared to go and buy products and services from other people rather than being trained by salespeople.
Perfect. So how can people find you then?
I am really enjoying a 1 minute YouTube channel I'm doing. So I've launched a YouTube channel called Adam Anderson CEO, where I concentrate on making 1 minute videos 5 times a day about business, about cybersecurity. And so you can hit me up on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and on Twitter under Adam Anderson CEO, and you can get little droplets of wisdom at my YouTube channel.
Perfect. Well, Adam, thank you so much for sharing your insightfulness and wisdom with us today at Work From Your Happy Place. And it's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Thanks, Belinda. You too.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.